Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah, wakafa. Wassalamu ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, in this world that we live in, there are laws, rules and regulations which we are required to obey. Every country has their own laws. And wherever you are, you will have to respect the law of that country. For an example, the country that we live in here, UK, there are so many laws that we have to respect, we have to obey, and we follow. This idea and understanding that a human being is completely free, that is totally wrong and baseless. In fact, no one in this world is free. No one at all. There are rules and regulations even when you are at home, you have to follow. House rules. You go to school, college, university, you're not free to do whatever you want. There are rules and regulations there. You work in an office, in your work environment, you are not free. You have to obey the rules, regulations. You go to the hospital, are you free? No, you're not free. There are rules, regulations even at the hospital. So a person is not free at all in this dunya. There are rules and regulations that apply to him 24 hours. Where shaitan makes you feel that, you know what, I'm a free bird. You're not. You are never free. If you think about it. When you're young, you're not free. When you get married, certainly you're not free. When you become mother, father, parents, are you free? No. Never free. A person is not free at all, and he has to respect the law of this country. In fact, you can't even park your car where you want to park it. Are you free in this country? You can park it anywhere you want. There is double yellow line and your house is close to that double yellow line and you are doing tawaf in the night to find the parking. And that double yellow line is tempting. Rakh tu yaar. Where am I going to go all night looking for a parking? Double yellow line. and he's going to take that risk, you know, let me park my car. That is illegal, isn't it? So in the world that you live in, you have to respect the law. When you break the law of the country, there is some form of a penalty. There is some form of compensation that you have to give. There is some kind of a punishment that you will face. And you've parked it on the double yellow line thinking, Subah Fajr mein main uthunga, I'll move it quickly. And for some reason he falls asleep and is not woken up for Fajr, and he didn't tell his Bibi Muhtarama something, and then when he wakes up and he looks there on the front screen, there's this yellow, you know, prize for him, award for him. If you pay early, it's 30 pounds, and then late is 60, you know, 60, huh? Now he's on the motorway and he's driving a bit fast and the speed cameras catch him. It's a bit harsh. 3 points penalty on his license. Insurance go high. You're not free at all. Reckless driving depends how reckless you are. They can even take your license away from you. There's a penalty for everything in this dunya, bhai. You're on the road and you assault someone, or you've assaulted someone, or there's a fighting there, and, you know, you're caught on camera, you know, you might have to go to prison. And if it's an extreme case where someone has received a lot of injury, you might go to prison for a long period of time. If someone dies, then what, you know, many, many years. Allah save us. So tell me, my respected brothers, is anyone free in this dunya? No one. Nobody even in this dunya, be it a Muslim or be it a non-Muslim, for someone to think, you know what, I'm enjoying life and I'm free. No. Nobody wants to wake up in the morning in the cold and go to work. Who is going to give him the money? Everybody would like it that, you know, I can sleep it over and be at home and somebody gives me money. But anybody gives you money like that? No. You're not free to do what you want. You have to go to work. You have to earn. You have to travel far. You have to go somewhere. This toiling, subhanallah, this hard work, movement, that when you come back at home, you are so tired, you don't know what to do. So insan is not free, be it a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Understand this. These are a few examples that are very important for us to understand. A person is not free even to travel anywhere he wants. You can't. Somebody from India wants to come to the UK and says, you know what, yaar, you know, inshallah, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to go to UK. Can he do that? No. He has to go through the immigration process. And then only if these angels give him visa. Right? So insan cannot even cross the border of any country thinking, I'm free. You need visa. You can't even do hajj. You can't even go umrah. There is conditions you have to fulfill. Subhanallah. Otherwise people will be traveling everywhere. Just today I was talking about the dangers of Islamophobia. This man, Andrew Leake, the one who firebombed the immigration center in Dover a few days ago, I think. Ajib, the hate he had for the Muslims, that he was targeting the Muslim community, and the words he used is, I want to obliterate Muslim children. I want to wipe out Muslim children. So the refugees that were there, I'm targeting the Muslims. What people don't understand, when you spread hate in the community, for a community, that opens the door of terrorism. that opens the door of terrorism. People don't understand that. But Islamophobia is a very powerful modern tool that people use. Why? For their domestic and foreign policies to be achieved. So they can achieve whatever they want at the domestic level and whatever they want at the international level. That is why 500,000 Muslims died in Iraq. How many? 500,000 that are saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. 500,000 Muslims died. The biggest lie in the world, this illegal invasion. All in the name of all this Islamophobia. Scaremongering. But anyway, this is not the topic. So you can't even travel anywhere until you've got your visa and until everything is sorted out. So understand, my respected brothers, the one thing that we need to understand, you are not free in this dunya. There are laws that you have to respect. And if you are going to break the law, there might be some penalty, you know, some kind of a punishment that is for you. Something that you will have to give. So one is the laws of this dunya, the laws of this dunya that a person is required to upkeep, very important. And he can't break the law of this dunya also, the country that he lives in. But most importantly are the laws of Sharia. The laws of Sharia. The laws of Sharia also have to be maintained in this world. Like how you can't break the laws of this dunya, you can't especially break the laws of the hereafter, the deen. To be a good citizen in this dunya, they will ask you, you know, have you got a criminal record? If you have a criminal record, then there are many jobs you can't do because you have a criminal record. So to keep your record good and clean, to be a good citizen, you can't break the laws, many of the laws of the country. To be a good citizen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be the real Khalifa of Allah, he has to be very mindful that he is not also breaking the ahkam, the laws of Sharia. The laws of Sharia. This is something very, very important. So as Muslims, we have a double duty because we have Iman. And double duty, why? Because Allah Pak wants to make this dunya Jannat and the hereafter also Jannat. And the more you follow your deen, the more Allah makes it easy for you also in this dunya. So there was this one man traveling to Australia, an Australian citizen. So the plane was empty and he was traveling to Australia, going back home. So the air hostess gave him alcohol in a can just to drink, I think, for whatever reason. So he said to the air hostess that, can you take this away? So you know, you get some people in their nature, they like to talk and, you know, put up a conversation, and it's not a heavy flight. So she says, why don't you want this? You know, people choose this drink. So he said to the air hostess, no, I'm a Muslim. What am I? I'm a Muslim. You know, all he had to say was, you know, I don't drink alcohol. But instead, what did he say? I'm a Muslim. Now, when he said, I'm a Muslim, that air hostess started to wonder that why did he give me this as an answer? I'm a Muslim. So what if you're a Muslim? I'm offering you a drink. So I'm a Muslim. So what this man is saying, that alcohol and Muslim is two opposites. What is it? We can't drink alcohol. So he started talking, she started talking also, oh, is this the case? So now she started saying that, you know, believe me, this amount of alcohol is not going to harm you at all. So there's nothing wrong in drinking, and you know, the main objective is that if you drink too much, then of course it can affect you, but this amount will be fine. So he says, no, I can't, I'm a Muslim. So she started talking. So you know what this young man said? Look, there's no problem, do me a favor. Can you go and give alcohol to the pilot? What did he say? Can you go and give alcohol to the pilot? Now she is trapped. So she said, look, I'm sure even the pilot drinks at home, but because he is on duty. What is he? On duty, he does not drink. So you know what the Muslim said? A Muslim is on duty 24 hours. Understand, my respected brothers? The Muslim is on duty 24 hours. We are not like you. The Muslim is on duty 24 hours, and she understood. So that is why as Muslims we have this responsibility in this dunya. Like we are good citizens and we don't break the law of the country that we live in. But at the same time, most importantly, we don't break the law of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is something which is very, very important for us to understand, that we don't break the law of Allah and His Rasul. Now what happens is, in this dunya, my respected brothers, unfortunately, there are two groups of people. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that as you people get close to the day of Qiyamah, there is only going to be a mu'min and shaqi, a mu'min and a shaqi. On one side you will have the people of iman, and on the other side you will have the system of kufr. So what shaitan makes a person do is that he puts it in his mind that you respect the law of this country, and this is more important for you than respecting the laws that are still going to show you the results, but in the hereafter. So this is not so important. And so what shaitan does generally is that the rules and regulations, the laws of this dunya, slowly he works with his team in such a way that he makes the laws of dunya also of a sinful nature. He makes the laws of dunya also of a sinful nature. So that a Muslim, even if he is going to be respecting the law of dunya, he will have no choice but to commit a sin. This is what shaitan does. And this is the difficulty when a minority moves in a country in which there is no faith, in which there is no iman or Islam. But unfortunately, sadly nowadays, even the Muslim countries want to follow the Western way of life. Who could have imagined that in Saudi Arabia, the land of the Tawheed, people will be dressed up like Satan and, you know, evil individuals, Frankenstein and Allah knows, and be walking on the streets to celebrate Halloween. Who could have imagined that? The Qurbani of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. I'm talking to the Arab brother who I know. So I said to him, you know, what's happening there, brother? So he goes, Imam, why is it you people only pick on us, the people of Saudi Arabia? Why don't you look at our good side? In so many countries, so many things are happening. But why, when anything happens in Saudi, you people, you know, make it news? So I said to him, my brother, tell me, is there Medina and Makkah in any other country, in any other Muslim country? Tell me. Is my Nabi in any other country? Is my Nabi in any other country? That why the Muslim community is doing tantrums? Is my Nabi in any other country? No. This is why the pain is there for the Muslims. Had it been any other country, it was different. But it is the country where our Nabi is resting. It is the home of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It is a land just in Medina, 10,000 Sahaba are sleeping in Baqi. 10,000 Sahaba. It's a land of the Sahaba. The Qurbani Sahaba did, going all the way to even Riyadh, that part of the world. So what Shaitan does, my respected brothers, he will want to tamper with the laws of the country. So just to give you a few examples, there was a time that even in Judaism, Christianity and people of the faith in the past, interest usury was always taken to be an evil practice. An evil practice. But today, interest usury, going to the bank, that for many people is a common practice. So he makes something that was haram, very halal and appealing to you. Very appealing to you. There was a time even when people were, I'm not talking even about the Muslims, just people of faith generally, they would not want to commit adultery. Even in their faith, adultery was wrong. But now when you talk about adultery and that, you know, you should not be doing this, people laugh at you. People take you as a madman. In which world is he living? Is he crazy? No adultery. There was a time also with gambling, music, dancing, the way women would dress up. Even in our own country, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, you will see how people were dressing up. Very modestly. So Shaitan, what he does is that he changes the law even of the world so that a time comes even for the Muslims, it becomes so difficult that even if they are practicing Islam, they will get caught because they have to follow the law of the country. And he will force them to indulge in sin. He'll force them to indulge in sin. Subhanallah. That is why I remember still when our Akabirin from the 80s, scholars from Pakistan would come, and in the early 80s when they would lecture in Urdu, they would say that, bhai, be very careful, possibly a time might come upon you that you will have to do hijrat. Possibly a time might come upon you that you will have to do hijrat. That you might have to do hijrat because everything else what you have to do will be considered as gunah kabira. Will be considered as gunah kabira. So this is what Shaitan works with. Baat samme aayi itni? Okay. Now as a Muslim, alhamdulillah, we have to respect the law of this country. But most importantly, the law of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, if you are living in a country in which you are not allowed to practice the most important pillars of Islam and your fara'is and your wajibat and your sunan-e mu'akkada, then it becomes haram for a person to live in that country. Then you have to move. So alhamdulillah, in this country we have the freedom, we have the masjid, we give our adhan, we have our halal food, we have everything bifazlillah, and may Allah keep it that way. Bole ameen. Our duty is to make sure that we save ourselves from guna. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan. So Allah knows the weakness of a human being. Allah knows the weakness of a human being. This insan is going to commit sins. He is going to fall. There is no doubt he is going to commit sins. And Allah wanted to show this to humanity by putting in the heart of Adam alayhi salam, but in such a way that it was done in forgetfulness. It was done in forgetfulness, not as intent, not in intent. And he raised his hand to a fruit which Allah told him not to eat. So by doing this, Allah is telling insan the nature of a human being. A human being will commit sins. If you don't commit sins, then what will happen is that you are in the ranks of the angels. So insan does commit sins. So Allah knows that this person is going to commit a sin. Now when we are in this dunya, like when you commit a sin, like in this dunya when you break the law of this world, there is some kind of a compensation, a penalty that you have to pay. You know, there's some difficulty that you might have to go through for doing something wrong. So a person who commits guna and sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this ummah is very, very merciful. Very, very merciful. Very merciful. Provided that he does not do two things. Listen to me very carefully, my respected brothers. Provided he does not do how many things? Two things. Allah is very merciful, but he must not do two things. Number one, the shaitan works hard on a Muslim. So he tries to take control of this man doing good deeds for the hereafter. A Muslim should never ever take the wrong to be right. So what he does, shaitan, is that he will want to make the sin, the wrong, the guna in his heart to be accepted. Oh, come on, it's right. Chalo yaar, in a long stretch of imagination, maybe there are some people who give some leeway. So he will make something that is, something wrong that is right. Shaitan does that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Many a times when I come across certain people who talk, and then you get women, so the women often say, "Ame burqa nati perta, but amaro dil to saaf che." What do they say? We don't wear a scarf and we don't wear an Islamic attire, but our dil is, our heart is clean. Our heart is clean. Now you see how shaitan tries all these lines. We are not wearing burqa, we are not wearing a scarf, we are not wearing, you know, the traditional Islamic garb when we go out, but our heart is clean. The only Romeo I love is Umar Farooq. I mean, what I'm trying to say is that she will say, "Bhai, I am loyal to my husband." What she will say is, "I am loyal to my husband. Although I dress up how I want to, but I am only loyal to my husband." So many instances. So many instances. There are so many examples today we can give where a person, you know, tries to change. Now this line is very dangerous. Where Allah has made something as a guna, wrong and a sin, for a person to dilute that sin, for a person to dilute that sin and say, it's okay. It's okay. So shaving. People are shaving. A nice clean shave, you know, proper. They look like the zanana. You know what is zanana in Urdu? Women. Forgive me. Clean shaven. Now, why are you clean shaven by? Why do you want to do this? Musa alayhi salam had a beard. Isa alayhi salam had a beard. Ibrahim alayhi salam had a beard. Ismail alayhi salam had a beard. All the messengers of Allah had a beard. This is min sunanil mursaleen. You know. And we are required to follow the Nabi, not just in miswak, but even in terms of how the body should be kept. So as a Muslim, this is our shi'ar. What is it? Now, someone very easily taking it out and then he says, you know what, it's okay. You know, shaitan tells him, you pray your namaz 5 times a day, this, that, don't worry, all these things happen. Now, this is wrong. When a person understands, okay, no, no, just make dua, Allah gives me hidayat, one day I will follow the sunnah. One day I will follow the, this is good attitude. But when, what shaitan makes you go through, especially in this modern world, is that what Allah has said, this is guna, He will want you to rebel against Allah and Rasulullah and to turn that wrong into right because you like it. Because you like it. Number one. And number two, the shaitan will always delay you from repentance. So never ever do that, my respected brothers. Never ever delay in your repentance. Why? Wallahi, you know, if you park your car on a double yellow line, you might get a ticket and you might have to pay £30. That is even more painful. That is more painful as compared to how easy Allah has made for the people of Iman. That if you break the law of Allah and His Rasul, if you break the law of Allah and His Rasul, the most simplest of actions that you can do is repent to Allah and do tawbah. What can you do? But this tawbah has to be done only in this dunya. This message is very important for people to understand. Because if you die, and if there is still the baggage of sins that you are carrying on your head and you take it in your grave, this is very dangerous. What is it? Dangerous. Very dangerous. Because the nature of Jannah is, people can only enter Jannah, those who don't have the baggage of sins. And that is why our Nabi did Tawbah 100 times a day. How many times? Now, don't you wonder, my respected brothers, a Nabi that is Imamul Anbiya, Masoom, what was there a need for him to say Astaghfirullah? What was there for him to wake up in Tahajjud and cry? What was there for him to be in Sajda and to put his head down and to say Allahumma ghfirli zambi kullahu diqqahu wa jillahu awwalahu wa akhirahu wa alaniyatahu wa sirrahu? What was the reason? This was to teach the ummah, don't forget two things. One, never ever take a sin as something accepted or something that is allowed. Number two, never ever delay in doing tawbah because death can come at any time. And what Allah's Nabi said, subhanallah, look how merciful Allah is. I'm going to conclude very soon. Can you find anyone that is more merciful than Allah? Can you find anyone? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, listen to this, my brothers, please, don't be sleepy and don't be snoozy. And don't read the dua, Allahumma bismika mutu wahiyai. This is not the time to read this dua. A lot of people are reading this dua right now. Please don't read this dua. Wake up. Bas baat khatam kar raha hu. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, my ummati, when he repents and when he does tawbah with sincerity, When he says, "Oh my Allah, my apologies, my Allah, I drifted away, I have done something wrong. Allah, with sincerity I am ashamed. Oh my Allah, I turn to you. Oh my Allah, please forgive me. Oh Allah, hold my heart and give me the strength, Ya Allah, that I can be firm on your deen. Allah, nobody knows of my guna, but you know of my guna, and I am putting my guna in front of you. My Rabb, forgive me." This is called tawbah. What is it? Tawbah. And when a person does tawbah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, Allah will make sure that the angels even forget the gunah that you committed. Otherwise the angels never forget. The angels never forget. It is impossible for them to forget because they are ma'mur min Allah. They work for Allah. It is only when Allah removes this knowledge from them that they don't even remember this man committed a sin. Number one, look at the mercy of Allah. Number two, Allah will make that portion of earth forget where the sin was committed. Hi, hi, subhanallah. Look how merciful my Allah is. That where you committed the sin in your room. On the day of Qiyamah, that room on the second floor, your wooden, planks that are there, whatever, or your bricks, whatever is there. On the day of Qiyamah, all that would have been a witness against you. Allah makes it forget. Allah makes that earth forget. That, you know what? No, he repented. The angels forget. The earth forgets, is made to forget. And number three, Allah will make sure that his own limbs forget the sins that he committed. Aye, aye. How merciful is Allah? Because on the day of Qiyamah, if you have not done tawbah, and you bring a baggage of sins, then all of your limbs and body parts will testify against you. If you say, "No, Bari Ta'ala, I didn't do this," the body will say, "Allah Pak is lying." Allahu Akbar. Your own body, the earth will testify. The malaika will testify. So how merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is saying, "I'm not even going to penalize you." And imagine sadqa fitr that we give. How much is it? Eh? Three pounds. What is sadqa fitr? 3 pounds. Subhanallah. What is zakat? 2.5%. Subhanallah. Look at the mercy of Allah. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Pak is saying, "You know what, you've committed a guna. You don't have to talk to your wife about it. You don't have to talk to your wife about it." It's a big mistake people do. When Allah has kept your guna as a secret, what is it? But then who are you to go and talk about your sins and reveal your sins to people who are close to you? This is un-Islamic. What is it? Never talk about the wrong that you have done when Allah has kept it a secret. Bottle it up and expect that my Allah will forgive me. Allah will forgive me. This is what shaitan does. Shaitan says, no, I want a clean slate and I want to start nicely. I'll talk to my husband that, "Look, before I got married to you, I had about 5 boyfriends." And she sings, "Maitni neku, look, I'm telling you the truth, I'm coming out clean to you. I had 5 boyfriends before you." Already it's a non-starter. What is it? Already it is a... But this is what shaitan does. Shaitan tells him, "You are a mukhlis lady." The husband says, "I have to be very open to my wife, I'll have to say to her, Jazakallah marrying me, otherwise me, I've had 10 girlfriends." The wife will look at him and say, "Oh Allah, ye to buddha hai." So, never ever open the sins that Allah has closed. And these are the two things. And always remember, repentance must be done immediately. Allah's Nabi was doing tawbah 100 times a day. So always, even if you forget your nafal namaz, you shouldn't, but if you do, chalo. But don't forget to do tawbah. Don't forget to do. Every day make your slate clean. Before you go to sleep, say to Allah, Allah Pak, I was born in 19, I won't say which year. You guys are very clever. I was born in 19 something, and this is how old I am. Bari Ta'ala, I was balig at this age. Bari Ta'ala, you know, I'm sure I've done so many sins. You know, and the best dua is the dua of my Nabi. And if you know this dua, alhamdulillah, if you can learn it, it's beautiful. Allah's Nabi would put his head down in sajda, in nafal namaz. And he would, kana Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yasjudu, when he was in sajda, he would make this dua. Allahumma ghfir li zambi, O my Allah, forgive my sins. Did a Nabi have any sins?
No.
He's teaching you and I. Allahumma ghfir li zambi, Allah forgive my sins. And look at that. Kullam. Allah forgive all of my sins. And then what does he say? Dikkahu wa jillahu. O my Allah, every sin, the sin that I have taken to be minor, and the sin which I have taken to be major. Allah, you know what is minor and major, but every kind of sin, dikkahu wa jillahu, and awwalahu wa akhirahu. O Allah, the sins of the past and the sins of the future, the sins that I've done before and the sins of the present time and also the future. أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ وَعَلَانِيَتَهُ وَسِرَّهُ. And my Allah, the sins I committed during the daylight and the sins I committed during the night. وَعَلَانِيَتَهُ وَسِرَّهُ. Ya Allah, and forgive my sins. What a dua. And Allah's Nabi would make this dua. And it is so easy for a person to repent and to make dua. All, even in your own language, in English, you make dua. And repent to Allah, Allah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The shortest tawbah, dua of tawbah, astaghfirullah. Everybody knows this. And to turn to Allah and, Ya Allah, please forgive me, Allah, please forgive me, Allah, please forgive me. Allah, the sins I have committed, I can't even remember, Allah, all my sins. Allah, protect me. So this way of doing tawbah is istighfar. What are you doing? Releasing the sins from your baggage. Okay? So when you die, inshallah, it is already a clean slate. But we should never be dejected, because even if a person has got sins, at the end of the day, a person only enters Jannah by the fazl of Allah. It is not the a'mal, but it is the fazl of Allah. Just to conclude, Allah save us from Jahannam. Allah save us from Jahannam. Allah's Nabi has mentioned that the lowest heat, you know, when you are cooking something, you also have in your cookers today flames, low flame, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. How much do you want the flames, the levels? So the lowest level of heat in Jahannam, Allah's Nabi talks about that, lowest level. As compared to the azab of Jahannam, the lowest level, it is said that a man will have to put his feet on some straps like shoes, and he will stand there. And the flames that are burning under where the souls are, it will not burn any part of his body here, but it will be boiling his brain and head. Allahu Akbar. So my respected brothers, this dunya is not a joke. We have not been created here for Halloween. We have not been created for Halloween. We have been created for a very serious purpose. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a serious man. Musa alayhi salam was not a fictitious individual. These are not some kind of, you know, people that have just been in this dunya and we just make people up. These are real individuals, Anbiya, who came. And Allah's Nabi who came in this dunya. So this is a real world. So alhamdulillah, I gave an example that even in this dunya, there is sometimes when you commit the wrong of this dunya, when you break the law, you are punished. So even when you break the law of the hereafter in this dunya, you will be punished. But Allah has made it very simple. Very simple. And that is even without wuzu in any language, turn to Allah and do tawbah, then Allah will forgive all of your sins. And at the time of death, inshallah, you are smiling and Allah will grant us Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.